So the subject for tonight's call is death and dying. And this is actually on the evening of November 1st, which in some traditions is the Day of the Dead and going right into All Souls Day. And this time of year is traditionally known for, in many cultures, for remembering the dead, the people who've passed over and the souls of the dead. And this coincides, not coincidentally, I'm sure, with the sun. In the world of astrology, the sun is in Scorpio. And Scorpio, amongst other things, is the sign of death and transformation and rebirth. Because death can be not just a physical death, but it can be a death in the sense of the death of the ego, or a death in a figurative sense, or death of some part of us that needs to die so that we can be reborn and become more of our true authentic selves and have greater access to our creativity. And this is a particularly good time for the planet of Scorpio, because not only is the sun in Scorpio right now, as I speak today, but also Venus and Mars and Mercury and Jupiter. So five of the planets in the heavens are in the sign of Scorpio right now. And this is the time of year when the veil between being in the body and on the physical plane and the spiritual plane, when that veil is at its thinnest, and when there is therefore the greatest possibility for those of us in the body, in the gross matter of the physical form, to get a deeper understanding of the transition from life to death, to understand it, and to understand ourselves and our journey. So this is a very powerful time, and I'm saying this to everyone who's on the call right now, and also to anyone who is listening to this as a recording, because this energy will carry into the recording, and it will be the same for you whenever you listen to this recording. So transformation, rebirth, death, and dying. How come there's such a great fear of death among people? And when we look at this, what we're looking at is the world of the body and the world of the spirit. Because when we die, we pass over from being in a physical body, the body dies, and we go back into being just a spirit. And our dilemma, and this is the dilemma of all people, is that we are a spirit in a body. So we are a soul or a spirit in a physical body. And traditionally down the centuries, this has been such a dilemma that there's been a division between the two. So the people who wanted the spiritual life and to follow and to nourish their soul, they had to become monks or nuns. That was their choice. And if you wanted to live in the world of the body, which was relationships and good food and sex and having nice place to live and all the physical comforts, then you chose that path. And there was this division between the two. But the great news for us is we have the possibility now, and it's particularly love and meditation that can help us with this, is we can heal this division and come into wholeness. Or another way of saying it is we can drop down below the division, because it's the mind that creates the division. And we can drop down below that into our inner wisdom and the deeper parts of ourselves, who understands that we are whole and that we are the spirit and the body, and that these two do not have to be divided, that we can lead a spiritual life and at the same time we can have all the physical comforts for the body, which is food and shelter and relationships and love. And we can have it all. It was the fear-driven mind which creates division and is ruled by fear and worry, which said you can't have it all, you have to choose, it's either or. For those of us who know that you can go beyond that, the way the mind divides things up into either or, and you can go into both. We can have both. We can have it all. So then this gives us another perspective from which we can look at death and the fear of death. Because one thing we know is we are all going to die, or at least we are all going to leave the body. Leave the physical body. And our choice is we can accept that, or we can reject it and go into denial, which a lot of people do, trying to look younger, trying to accumulate massive amounts of material possessions, as if in some way they think they can defy death, avoid death, or somehow they convince themselves, because their fear of death is so great. And they think that if they're very, very powerful in this material world and have massive amounts of money and material possessions, that somehow they won't have to die. And what happens with those people is they end up dying very unconsciously. And the gift that meditation brings us, those of us who are students of meditation and of love, is that we have the possibility to die consciously by looking at death in the face, by saying, okay, what is this? What is this transition we go through when we leave the physical body and the realm of the physical and we pass back over into the realm of the spirit? Because our spirit never dies. Our consciousness never dies. Just the body. And we can come to understand that on a very deep level. And when we get to that place of understanding, all fear disappears. But this has to be experienced. Each one of us has to experience that for ourselves. It's not something that you can just take somebody else's word for it. So what are we afraid of? When we go deeply into this, if we know that we're going to die, which we do know that, we're going to leave the body, what are we going to leave behind? Of course, we're going to leave behind our material possessions, but ultimately, when it comes down to it, most people are not worried about that. What they're going to leave behind is their beloved people that they love. And there's going to be a separation from them. And we are going to be alone when we die. I mean, we might be surrounded by people and loved ones, but it's a journey we go on our own. It's not something you do together with somebody, like when we get married and we do that together, or we go on a vacation together with somebody. We know that when we die, I guess there's a possibility you might be side by side in bed with somebody and both going to die at the same time, but the odds of that are pretty remote. So we're going to be on our own. We're going to leave our relationships, at least on the physical plane. And it brings up such a fear that we don't want to look at it, especially if we spent a lot of time, you know, with our immediate family and intimate relationships. We've been these people a long time. And so what happens is that the very climate of death, the very talk of death, it suddenly takes away all our masks, and suddenly we become aware that we are alone. Because we are alone. And we have relationships, and we want to have relationships. So it's like we're in relationships, and at the same time we're also alone. So death exposes these things. It's like the ultimate mirror. And the interesting thing is that for people who've lived a life completely ruled by fear, and so they've never done the things in their life that they wanted to do out of fear, the interesting thing is at the time of death, the most important subject in their minds is sex. And sex and death are two sides of the same coin. So all the people who've been repressing their sexuality will think only about sex. Because they have been repressing, sex isn't just for creating children, which helps us stay in immortality, of course, if we can leave children, but it's also at the root of our creativity. And sex creates life, and death takes life away. So sex and death are very intimately related. They're two sides of the same coin, in fact. So it all depends on how we've lived our life, or on how we live our lives, as to how we view death. Because if we've lived our lives totally, each moment to moment with mindfulness and presence and care, and if we live our lives that way, then we're actually not very much concerned about death. Because that's somewhere down the road, that's in the future, whatever. We're in the now. So that then when we come to that moment of death, we can be in the now with that and be fully present with it and welcome it and know that it's the next step on our journey. And all enlightened people, they just laugh. They just, you know, if someone was to come, they're drinking tea, and someone's to come and say to them, you're going to die tomorrow, they'll just keep drinking their tea. They won't be fazed at all. Because they have a deep acceptance. They have no fear. They have no rejection going on around death. They have a deep acceptance. They know that it's as inevitable as when the fall comes and the leaves leave the tree. And as the day ends, the night comes. And then the day comes and creation wakes up again. Enlightened people know that. And so they just carry on drinking their tea. They are not concerned about it. They are in the present moment enjoying their tea. And when the time of death comes, they will be present with that in that same way. And it's interesting because modern physics discovered the black holes in space, so that if any planet or any sun comes close to the black holes, it's pulled in and simply disappears. But science also understands the balance in nature. So now they're saying there must be white holes. Because from one side a planet or a star goes into the black hole and disappears from us, but on the other side, the white hole, a new star is born. So every day new stars are born and old stars are dying. Life and death are a continuous circle. Life is the day and death is the night. It's a rest. It's a time for rejuvenation. And the deeper our understanding comes with all of this, then the less we're disturbed by it. But the more unconscious people are, they just freak out. They start doing things they've never done. They try to become controlling. And they live in a state of total fear. But a person of meditation will just drink their tea and enjoy drinking their tea, or enjoy taking their shower. They will not be paralyzed with fear or shock or any kind of freaking out. Because people of meditation and enlightened people, they know only one word to say to nature, and that is yes. Yes. Yes to death, yes to life, yes to birth, yes to transformation, yes to change, yes to transition, yes to the journey. That is acceptance. And the more we can say yes to life, moment to moment, then when we do come to that moment of death, we can die consciously. And that is a great, great gift to give ourselves. And sometimes people ask, you know, is there life after death? People are always trying to figure out what happens after death. But really, I think it's the wrong question. I think a more basic question would be, is there life after birth? Because many people are born, but very few people have a life. They exist, but their life is just a mere existence. And birth is necessary, but something more is needed. Otherwise, we simply vegetate and then we die. This is a very gradual death because these people are so unaware that you don't even know it. And it's very rare to come across an alive person. And really alive people, they never ask, is there life after death? They don't care. They already know. They already know what life is. Because they are so alive and they are so present in their lives, and in that knowing, death disappears. Death only exists because you don't know what life is. Because you're unaware of the deathlessness of life itself. If you've not touched life, if you have not really come alive to yourself, then the fear of death exists. But once you've known what life is, death becomes non-existential. And the person who is really alive, they just laugh at the very possibility of death because they know death cannot exist in the very nature of things. It's a death of the body, but not of the spirit and not of the soul. Because the soul can't disappear. That which is cannot disappear. But you have to come to this experience existentially, not theoretically. So this question about what happens after death is because nothing has happened before death. That's why the question is there. If life hasn't happened after birth, then how can you believe that life and trust that life is going to happen after death? It's not happened after birth. How can it happen after death? But for those who know life, they know that death is another birth. A new door is opening. From one side, the door is known as death. From the other side, the door is known as birth. Death brings another birth, another beginning, another journey. But this is just going to be speculation to you until you know what life is. So that's why it's good to ask the right question. The right question is, what is life? Is there life after birth? Because a wrong question cannot be answered, it can be answered only in a wrong way. And so, the goal is the experience, not philosophizing or theorizing, but experience, because it's only experience that solves this riddle. And don't even take my word for it. It's something that each person has to experience for themselves. And the key is to experience life moment to moment with total presence, with mindfulness, with care. And, you know, while life is here with us, why not inquire into life itself? Why bother with death? Death isn't here yet. When it comes, face it, and you can know it. But don't miss this opportunity of knowing life while life surrounds you. Right? Because if you've known life, you will have certainly known death. And then death is not the enemy, death is the friend. But people still get so afraid, they're trying to live longer and trying to attain some kind of deathlessness, so they have masses of children, so that they stay in immortal, think they can stay immortal that way, or they try and become famous, or try and accumulate masses of money and materials, things, but it's the fear of death that haunts their whole lives. And why is this? It's because of this idea of separation, which is created by the mind, that somehow we're separate. That because we're in a body, we are separate from our soul and our spirit. The moment we drop the idea of separation, the fear of death disappears. That when we can become one with the whole, with our soul, with our spirit, and with our body, then we will know we can go beyond birth and death. And that's the whole search for enlightenment, the state of deathlessness. But the condition that has to be fulfilled to get there is that first you have to die as a separate entity. And that's what surrender is all about. Dying as a separate entity, dying as an ego. But the good news is that there's nothing to be worried about because the truth is we're not separate. That's only a belief. And it's only the belief that dies, not us. It's like if you've seen a rope in the darkness of the night and you've got the notion that it's a snake and you're escaping from the snake in tremendous fear and trembling and perspiring. And then somebody comes along and says, oh, don't worry, it's only a rope. And that's what the Buddhas have been doing down the ages. They take the rope in their hand and they show you that it is only a rope. Then all this fear disappears and you start laughing. You know, when people become enlightened, the first thing they do is they burst out laughing. Because they see that it was just a rope. And they start laughing at themselves and how foolish they've been. That they've been escaping from something which never existed in the first place. But see, the thing is this, that whether it existed or not, the drops of perspiration were real. The fear, the trembling, the heartbeat going faster, the blood pressure, all those things were real. And unreal things can trigger real things. So a rope looking like a snake, it's not a snake, it's a rope, but it can trigger real feelings of fear and anxiety. And if you think they are real, they function for you as reality. This is the whole trick of the conscious mind and the subconscious. It's a dream reality, but it can affect us. It can affect our whole life and our whole lifestyle. And as we become more aware and alert and conscious, we find the ego not there at all. That's like the rope we had misconceived to be the snake. The snake is nowhere there. Death, in fact, doesn't exist. It's unreal. But it's the mind that creates it, and it creates it by creating separation. And surrender means dropping the idea of separation. Death disappears automatically. Fear is no more there. And the whole flavor of your life changes. Then each moment is just crystal purity, a purity of delight, of joy, of bliss. Each moment is eternity. And to live moment to moment without the ego is poetry. And to live without the ego is grace, is music. Is to really live. And poetry is the life of one who is surrendered to existence, who has that yes, that acceptance, that what is, is. And also remember, when you surrender to existence, you're not surrendering anything real. You're simply surrendering a false notion. You're simply surrendering an illusion. You're surrendering something that you never had with you in the first place. And by surrendering that which you don't have, you attain to that which you have. To know that I am home, I always have been and I always will be, is a great moment of relaxation, of deep contentment and relief and relaxation. Knowing that I'm not an outsider, I'm not alienated, I'm not uprooted, I belong to existence and the existence belongs to me. All becomes calm and quiet and still. This stillness is surrender. But sometimes the word surrender gives the wrong idea, as if you're surrendering something. You're not surrendering anything. You're simply dropping a dream. You're simply dropping something arbitrary that society has created. The body belongs to the earth. The soul belongs to the sky. The body belongs to matter, and we belong to existence. The body has limits. It's born and it will die. But we are never born and we never die. And this becomes your own experience. This is not a belief. It has to become your own experience. Belief is fear-oriented. Belief is from the mind. You'd like to believe that you're immortal, but belief is just something pseudo. It's painted from the outside. Experience is totally different, and I know you know what I'm talking about. Experience is totally different. It wells up within you. It's your own. And that's why I say, you can listen to me, but you have to have your own experience of this. You have to try this out and experiment by living each moment of each day with care, with mindfulness, with presence. And then you will come to know this for yourself. And then once you know it for yourself, and that's not knowing in the head, but knowing in your heart and soul, then nothing can ever shake your knowing. Nothing can destroy your knowing. The whole world can say there's no soul, but you'll know there is. You'll smile. Because the experience is self-validating and it's self-evident. When people go to church and all of this, but the God within us, it needs no other God to be worshipped. All that it needs is an awakening, awareness, a consciousness of our own being. That we are immortal. And it's interesting because in Christian villages, you know, there's a bell, the village has a bell tolling when someone dies, and there's a line from a poem, "Never ask for whom the bell tolls. The bell tolls for thee," because every death is symbolic. Every death is a reminder that each day we are coming closer and closer to death. In fact, from the day we're born is the day we start to die. And birds and animals and trees die. How can we avoid that? It's only a matter of time. But those who know their own being, who are aware, they know that death is an illusion. But it's because we identify so much with the body. The more we identify with the body in the physical material world, then there's a fear of death. The more we become deeper into connected with our spirit, with our inner wisdom, then we become the watcher. We can move into pure consciousness, into no mind, and then we know there's no death. So, this is where the meditation comes in, because meditation can help us to not be identified with the body, with the mind, with the world. Because the only thing that's really real is our consciousness, our being, our soul. We are the unchanging divine, the unchanging godliness. And all distinctions disappear, whether people are old or young, or educated or uneducated, rich or poor. Once we transcend the mind, then all distinctions disappear. Because distinctions are made by the mind. And beyond the mind is just a silent sky. It's just pure space. And everything is oneness and wholeness. So, We have a physical birth, which gives us physical life. That's our first birth. But then our second birth, which we can give to ourselves, is our spiritual birth. And then we have that choice to live with awareness. So we move from unawareness to awareness. The life which is lived unawarely is not worth living. Because they're only pretending to live. But as we transform each act of our lives from unawareness into awareness, we reclaim ourselves from the darkness of the unconsciousness as much as we can, and we become more and more conscious. And that's what meditation is all about. Nothing else has to be changed, just something in the inner world, the inner approach and the inner light. The whole world remains the same, and we live the same life, and we live in the same world, but if you bring awareness to your acts, your world is transformed. It's not the same world, although it is the same. And so we come to the secret key. Life goes on moving. One wave appears to die and then arises another wave appears. Forms disappear and new forms appear. Birth and death. It is the desire to cling to life that creates the fear of death. And there are two ways to become very well acquainted with death. One is meditation, and the other one is love. Because when we love, it's a small death. If you love very deeply, it's a great death. Something disappears, and a something is reborn. Love is a rebirth. And so through meditation and love, we can become acquainted with death, so that when death really comes, we can receive the guest with great love and rejoicing and celebration. So this is the secret key. If you know life, you will know death, because deep down they are one. The secret of life is death. If you love, what is the secret of love? Death. If you meditate, what is the secret of meditation? Death. And so this is what we can do right now, in this moment, right now. We can care about each and everything we do, not making any distinctions between the great and the small. Cleaning the floor, do it with deep care, as if it is the body of a beloved person. And suddenly you will see you are being born anew through your own creativity. Each creative act becomes a rebirth for the Creator. And each indifferent act or unaware act becomes a suicide, a slow death. So this is how we can bring meditation and that quality of care and presence into each and every activity, into each moment, because then we transform it. We transform it into a creative act. We transform ourselves. We have a rebirth each time. And we become overflowing. So let care be at the very center of your life.